We are continuing a series on life, death and resurrection. It's a big subject. In fact, there's three very big subjects there. I won't go back over everything, but what I will do is just go back a little over what we looked at last week. And we're actually considering a time, or the subject of, when will people be resurrected? When will people be resurrected? And I think what we should do is open up at 1 Corinthians 15, just as a refresher. And if you've got a bookmark, which you should have, you should put one of them in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now last week, and in fact the week before as well, we've been looking at resurrection for a couple of weeks now, and this is our third study on this subject. I've suggested to you that there will be at least two future resurrections. That is, a person lives as they are, as we live now in this life, die, and then if you're a believer particularly, you can expect to be resurrected. That is, the Lord will somehow, I think I can use the word miraculously, because it's put us back together again in a much new improved version. A better way, a better body, a better form, a more glorious body than we have right now. I think the human body is a magnificent thing. Even with a few creaks and problems that we have with it, it's still a magnificent piece of machinery, if I can put it in that sense. But in resurrection, it will be even better. And we read some of that in 1 Corinthians 15. If you're not familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, and this subject resurrection, this is an excellent place to start. But particularly last week and this week, we're considering the more specific question of when will people be resurrected? And I suggested to you that there will be at least two resurrections. And you've got your chart there. You can see one of them we looked at particularly last week, which was there will be a resurrection at Christ's coming, the second coming. There's an unknown length of time, which is sort of where we are at the moment. Then a number of prophecies in the scriptures talk about there being a period of 7 years. I don't want to go into too much detail here, but you can read about some of that in Revelation, some of that in the book of Daniel, some of it in Matthew 24. The tribulation period is that second 3.5 years, just before the Lord's coming. And you read about that a lot in Revelation. A lot of the mark of the beast, Armageddon, all of those terms we've heard a lot about are quite closely associated with that last 3.5 years. And Matthew 24, I should say, talks about how after the tribulation of those days, then the Lord will come. And so that one, if you want to get some idea of how prophecy is going to play out, become familiar with Matthew 24, which is quite, it puts it in fairly simple language. Not everything, doesn't tell us everything, but it tells us some things. And then the Lord's coming is after those 3.5 years. And so we're told that there's a resurrection at Christ's coming. So again, I suggest to you there are at least two resurrections. There may be more, and we'll look at some other possibilities next week. But there's definitely one. And we read about this last week, and we particularly concentrated on some of the events and the aspects of the resurrection at Christ's coming. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 15, just to refresh your memory. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll pick it up from, let's go from verse 17, because the question is asked in verse 12, there were some people at Corinth, the people who received this letter, they were doubting whether Christ had actually been raised, whether there was such a thing as the resurrection of the dead. And Paul, who wrote the letter, answers them with this particular passage. But let's look at verse 17, where he concludes, if Christ, well, I should read in the NIV. Yes, verse 17, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And we went to some pains to talk about this particular aspect, that we often focus on Christ's blood, that the death of Christ on the cross, which is, it is central and fundamental to the Christian faith. But if Christ died at the cross and didn't do anything else, the story is incomplete. We read here that if Christ did not raise again, if he did not live again, then we're without a hope. We won't live again either. We would just die and that's it. But because Christ lives and we have faith in him, we will live also. And we see that from these verses. Verse 17 again. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, that's those who have died, believers in Christ who have died, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So that his resurrection is very, very important. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, he is the first one to be resurrected to immortality. There were other people in the Old Testament who were raised from the dead, but they all died again. But Christ raised, was resurrected, and he still lives. He's the first one to do that. And that's why it's called the first fruits. It's like the first offering of the harvest. It was an Old Testament law. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21. For since death came through a man, that is Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, that is Christ. For as in all Adam, as I'll start that again, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now our question for last week and this week is, when will people be resurrected? And here we get an answer. Verse 23. But each in his own turn, in other words, each will be raised or made alive in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Makes sense, he's the first one. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him. So those, at least some, and I will explore this question a bit further next week, but at least some who are Christ are his. When he comes, they will be resurrected. And then we start to get a bit further on into prophecy. And the prophecy timeline. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And, you know, we tend to think of Christ's enemies as being, I don't know, Satan and maybe demons and perhaps some humans as well who will also oppose him. But the next verse says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And now this particular part, I think, takes place after the 1,000 years, if you want to refer to your chart there, where it talks about the last enemy to be destroyed is death, because we're going to read about death being destroyed at the end of the 1,000 years. We'll read about that in due course tonight. For he has put everything under his feet. Verse 28, when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. In other words, I think that means, I'm not absolutely certain, but I think that means that there will be a time when everything that is in existence will be reconciled to God in some way. That may even be a part of God in some way, but at least reconciled to God. But that is many, 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 probably thousands of years down the track, and that's not quite our subject tonight. Interesting, but not quite our subject. So last week we did look at one resurrection at Christ's coming. To refresh your memory, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about how some of those believers will meet him in the air and then come down to the earth at the Mount of Olives. We also talked about the nation of Israel specifically. Remember Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, how it will come to life. The Lord will put sinew and muscles and flesh onto the bones and then breathe life into them, and they'll be a nation again. And talks about how some will come up from the graves to be part of that resurrected nation. That will be at Christ's coming. This is all last week, so I'm just reviewing some of this. Then we talked also about a passage from Ezekiel 36 talking about the water and the spirit, people will have to be cleansed with water. God will breathe new spirit into them, which then led us on to John chapter 3. I hope some of this is coming back to you. And Nicodemus was talking to the Lord, and he says that unless a man is born of spirit and of water, then he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I suggested to you that that term born again, that we often use in a very spiritual sort of way, it is a spiritual term, but it particularly has a very physical reference too, that people will literally, at that time, be given a new body. They will be, in a very literal sense, born a second time, born again. Whether you agree or not, that's totally up to you. But that's where we, more or less, where we left it last week. I want you to keep a bookmark in 1 Corinthians 15 and go to our second main reading, which will be Revelation 20. And I'd like you to put a bookmark in Revelation 20 when you get to it as well. Again, I apologise, Louise. We covered a lot of ground the last few weeks, so I hope you can get something out of tonight.
I've covered a lot of ground for the last couple of
months. All right, good. Well, that's better than going backwards, isn't it? And look, we do encourage questions and comments, so if you've got something you'd like to say or if you'd like to ask me to clarify something, please do. Revelation chapter 20. Now, this passage is interesting because it tells us about these two particular resurrections, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this second resurrection tonight. So there's, again, just to reiterate where we're going with this, I've mentioned to you that there are at least two resurrections in Scripture, at least two. There may be more. We might talk about some of those other options next week. But tonight I want to just establish a bit more about this second resurrection. Last week we looked particularly at the resurrection at Christ's coming. Tonight we're going to look at this second resurrection, which takes place after the 1,000 years reign on earth. Let's not get too far ahead of us, but we'll read from Revelation chapter 20. And we'll pick it up just at verse 4. This is at Christ's coming. And John, who's writing, says, "I saw thrones, on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls," or the lives, if you like, it's probably a better way to translate that Greek word psuche, "but I saw the souls," or the lives, "of those who had been beheaded." So they've been killed, right? These people are dead. "Who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God." And you'll have to read some of the previous chapters in Revelation to see about those people who didn't bow to the beast or the mark of the beast. So they were killed for that. "They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now those of us who have a dispensational background, we recognise that there's different ages. We often focus on the fact that Christ will be reigning 1,000 years and some will reign with him. And so we should. It's an important thing. But don't let the first part of that sentence pass you by. It says that these people came to life. Who came to life? Well, the people who had been beheaded and lost their lives because of their stand for Christ previously, and particularly in those last 3.5 or so years. I think that is particularly relevant there. But there's lots of other people who have been brought to life too. But notice, they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. And that is the second resurrection. So we've got two resurrections there. One is at Christ's coming. Then there's a period where Christ is reigning on earth 1,000 years. There's a lot of people who've been resurrected and will live with him. And then there is a resurrection of the rest of the dead at the end of the 1,000 years. We'll come back to it in a moment. Let's keep reading. Let's read from verse 5. "The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended." And you'll note the NIV has that verse in brackets, and I think that's correct. Because then the next line says, "This is the first resurrection." And it's not referring to the rest of the dead at the end of the 1,000 years. It's referring to this one, where the people who were beheaded and lost their lives came to life. This is the first resurrection. definitely.
Hang on. You've already said there was a resurrection when Christ came.
That's right. I agree.
Believers. Not the ones that have had their, just the ones that have had their.
Oh,
head.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's what I'm saying. There's, and there's many other people as well.
So is this basically good and a bad day?
Almost. Let's talk more about that in a moment. It's a good question. It's not quite. It's not quite as simple as that, but yeah. Yeah, okay. There's a resurrection. So we read about in 1 Corinthians how there will be every man will be raised in his own order. Christ the first fruit, so we know Christ has been resurrected. Then those who are his at his coming, talks about. So those people at Paul's time, who were alive at Paul's time and who had died during Paul's time, if they were called Christ, they will be raised. 1 Thessalonians talks about how those who have fallen asleep will raise. But then there's also here, some people here who have, will also be raised at that time, who were are yet to live. This is still future, that 3.5 years to our time. It's not 2009, it's down the track a bit. And they will have suffered a lot and died, some of them. And those people will also be raised at that time. Okay, let's keep going. There are a lot of questions we could ask about these things. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. So consider that, because these are people who have died either way back or at this time in the 3.5 years, they've died. They've died a first time. They're going to be raised. They're not going to be subject to something called the second death. They won't die a second time. And that's going to become relevant in a moment and will make a bit more sense, because the second death might have something to do with this, an event that takes place at the end of the 1,000 years. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, I don't want to get too sidetracked. Some of you will be familiar with 1 Peter 2, which talks about a royal priesthood. You are a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests, and that has to do with the role that Israel particularly will play in the world as God deals with them again. I don't want to get too sidetracked with that. Just let me get my notes in order now. Okay. You've got 1 Corinthians 15 there. I hope if you can turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 53. Please stop me if you want to ask a question. Well, I mightn't answer any of them, though, of course.
So, the people who are dead will be raised, and those particular areas that you talked about.
I think so,
what
yes.
What about the people who are living at that point?
Well,
will they change?
I think so.
At the point where they meet Christ in the air and come down and...
So you're talking about those who are, let's say, can be called Christ's at his coming?
Yes.
Yes, they'll be changed. 1 Thessalonians talks about that, how, remember in the time of the Acts period when Thessalonians was written, they were expecting Christ to come at any time. Now that's been postponed at the moment as God's not dealing with Israel anymore, right? But Paul was saying, we shall not all sleep, we will not all die, but we will all be changed. So Paul expected to live through that time, and he expected to see Christ come. Paul didn't expect to die, he expected to be changed. And I can't see any reason why those people who are alive at that time, who are faithful to Christ, who somehow managed to escape being beheaded and tortured, they will also be changed.
They will be the ones who
went
to the
hills. Maybe, I wouldn't like to be too dogmatic about that, but yeah, they may be. Yeah.
So those people that they're talking about there at that point of being raised from the dead, are they people like us that are Christians now?
Well, this is
this whole 3.5 years has happened in 100 years' time.
Yeah.
That would be us would be included in that raising from.
We may well be, and this is a point of contention, which I hope you'll come next week because we'll try and deal more of that. What I'm trying to do is to establish some of the things that we can really say with absolute certainty first. And one of the things we looked at last week was that the second coming of Christ is particularly relevant or specific to Israel. It has a very, very Israel-centered agenda about it, and Israel as a nation and individuals from Israel will be raised then. That may be us, it may not be. I tend to think we will be, but that not everyone agrees with that. So, again, I want to talk more about that next week. The things that we can establish is that there's a resurrection at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years, and that there's one at the end. And I just want to establish some really basic facts about that first, okay? And I've got as many questions as everyone else in this room. We've just read in Revelation 20 how those people who will be raised at the first resurrection, the second death will have no power over them. In other words, they will be raised, they will have died once, they won't die a second time. And I just want to affirm that from something we read in 1 Corinthians. Around about verse 53, and we've read this before, but just to remind you, because it talks again about that particular resurrection. It says, for the perishable, in other words, things which are subject to perish and die and decay, must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. In other words, that which is subject to death must be changed into something which is not subject to death anymore. Verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying which that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. So a person who is raised then at Christ's return is immortal. They cannot die. They cannot be subject to the second death. And some people will die up over here who are raised. They'll be raised and then they'll die. And we'll read about that in just a moment. Just let me get my notes in order here. Okay. Alright, let's go back to Revelation 20. They're complicated matters, these. I'm trying to make them as simple as possible, but it's not easy. Alright, now we've just read about the first resurrection, and now verse 5, chapter 20, verse 5, we read that the rest of the dead, that's those who weren't raised at Christ's coming, the first resurrection, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. And that on the chart is the second of those two darker patches there, the end of the 1,000 years. And let's get some more details about this from verse 11. The intervening verses are interesting, but we'll just go from verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And you'll notice on my chart up here, I have a little panel that says the great white throne. Mm-hmm. Just up there. And that takes place at this point at the end of the 1,000 years. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky, or heaven and earth and heaven fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Now these aren't people who are souls or phantoms or ghosts. These people have been resurrected. They've been made alive again. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead, that is the dead who are now raised at this particular resurrection, were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Right, remember we just read there were a few books open and then another book open called the book of life. Well, those other books have perhaps a list, if you like, of a person's works, what they had done, what they hadn't done. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up, that's death them if you like, the state of death, gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Do you notice that there's nothing there about Christ's blood, being a Christian, being one of Christ? It is purely based on works. Interesting. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So the state of death, if you like, was done away with. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now I just want to make a couple of points here, and then you can fire all the questions at me that I won't be able to answer. But let's just sum up here. I think, Karen, when you said, is the first resurrection the good for the good people and the second one for the bad people,
in general,
yeah, yes and no. Because there are people who will survive that resurrection. I think, in a nutshell, that these people are Christians at the first resurrection, Christians or those belonging to Christ and Israel, a redeemed Israel. There's quite a few different groups who come there. They're under that first resurrection. Everyone else, I think, who has died before that time will remain dead. They will just remain dead. And they will be raised at this time to be judged. That in a sense they've already been judged whether they've been believers in Christ or not. This is more to do with perhaps either people who had rejected Christ, maybe people who have never heard of Christ. You know, I bet there's some of those tribes in New Guinea who are looking around that plain at the moment may not have ever heard of Christ and may never have had a chance to accept or reject. There may be some people resurrected there who, for whatever reason, they weren't able to accept or reject, and particularly I'm thinking about people who might have some sort of mental disability, or maybe young children who had died prematurely, that sort of thing. I don't know exactly, but that's just what I think. They will be raised, and God, who is the righteous judge, he will make a judgment based on his righteous judgment. You know what I mean? He knows. He will know. That's not up to us to say. But they will be raised then. And some people will more or less be then rejected after that point. They won't be going into a hell that burns forever. Because did you notice that Hades, which is often said to be hell, was actually thrown in the lake of fire. This is destruction. It's just destruction. So some people will be raised. They will stand before the judgment throne, I believe, and then that will be it. They will be destroyed. Some of those people, under God's, you know, in God's own understanding and will survive into the next era. Okay. I can't answer every question, but you might want to ask me to clarify something or have a few questions. Now's a good time.
So what's Hades meant?
Hades, we haven't looked really closely at Hades. Hades is another word for, if you like, the state of death. There's an Old Testament word called Sheol, which actually refers to the grave. So people go down to Sheol. It's not a burning hell. It's a state of death. And so that's why we're in the end of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? Or something to that effect. It's just another way of saying the state of death. So it's going to be, death will be done away with.
Why don't they just say asleep?
Well, he says that in many other places. I'm not sure. You'll have to bring that up on Judgment Day. But I'm not sure. Look, what I really want to establish tonight is that there are at least two resurrections, and we can talk about some of the finer points. But we should be aware that there are at least these two, and that resurrection, people will be resurrected and judged on that second one according to what they have done, or again what they might have done in God's opinion and view. What do you reckon, Cliff? Only one?
Do you believe that everyone that's ever lived will be resurrected
at some stage?
At some stage.
I believe so. Some of our friends in the American group, in Truth for Today magazine, some of you'll get Truth for Today magazine, that they definitely believe that if a person is not to be counted among Christ,
yes,
they will remain dead. That's it.
That's right.
That's just them. And I personally, I don't agree with that.
Okay. But do you think those people who
think so, yes. So Paul talks about in Acts 25 how there is a resurrection of the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Covers everyone.
I think it does.
Everyone will be resurrected.
At some stage, everybody will be resurrected, but some people will be resurrected to immortality.
Okay.
And everyone else who's resurrected is resurrected there. You can't be resurrected to immortality if you're going to be dead again, you know, in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whenever.
Yes, but some in that second resurrection are not.
Correct. Correct. Some will be resurrected, and I would imagine, to life,
yes.
To immortality, I think. Yes. We're never actually told that. I can't see how it would work any other way.
It more or less says that there.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does. And especially because death will be done away with there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Apple, you to catch that? Death will be done away there. So absolutely,
yes.
I agree with
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and I'm not sure that I've picked this up before, the Book of Life applies to that second resurrection, not the first one.
The Book of Life is quite different to the books.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's two lots there. There's the books, which
mm-hmm.
you judge from, and there's also the Book of Life.
Which has the names of those who
will live.
Who will live, yes.
Yeah.
Not judged from the Book of Life.
All right, okay. Wait, let's just go back. So, the Book of Life is mentioned. Let's read, where's the Book of Life? It's in about verse 14 or something?
No, 12.
12, okay. All right, the Book of Life. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were open, so there are books that seem to list or categorize a person's works. It says another book, singular, was open, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to what they had done. What they had done, as recorded in the books. So in other words, if you can imagine there's quite a few books on this table, but I've got a special book here. And all these other books have got what a person has done, and that will qualify them to have their name in this book, or it won't.
Because
and if your name, just let me finish,
yes.
I'll get your question in a moment. If your name is in this book, you'll be given life. If your name is not in this book, you won't be.